It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Not much scoring in this game.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Imagine you're a big football team that's been in the public realm for, say, 9 or 10 years, and you've been winning game after game, year after year, and then comes your first loss. It's a humbling moment. That's the score this morning for Goldman Sachs, which posted a nearly $2 billion loss in its fiscal fourth quarter. It went public in 1999. Consumer prices in November dropped by the largest amount on record, dating back more than six decades. Inflation fell by a larger than expected 1.7%. And there's still fallout in the housing market. New U.S. housing starts plunged in November to record lows, 625,000, down from a revised figure in October. The Federal Reserve Bank could very well announce another rate cut today, the one banks charge each other on overnight loans. It's already only 1%. They could slash it by half or more. And everyone is keeping a close eye on the Fed's decision. In Europe, reaction has a lot to do with the dollar and how it's trading against the euro and other foreign currencies. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
In his home overlooking the Hungarian capital Budapest, opposition politician Josef Torgian claims his country is in a bitter mood.
Hungarians feel today so bad, they feel so unhappy that they've never felt so bad during the whole history, I would say.
Bailed out by the IMF and sliding into recession, Hungary has been brought to its knees by debt, says Torgian. Having overthrown communism 20 years ago, Hungary has swapped one tyranny for another.
Russian tanks left, but foreign banks came. That banks even robbed us more than those Russians who stayed here.
That claim sounds bizarre in a country where living standards have soared. But analyst Christian Svabados says there is a growing distrust among Hungarians of free market economics.
They are absolutely afraid of the market. They are absolutely afraid of competition. Even the young generations think that if I personally have a problem, I must turn to the state to solve it.
He says that sentiment is spreading throughout Eastern Europe, even in Slovakia, a big free market success. Journalist Anka Dragu says Slovaks have been turned off by the inequality of American capitalism.
They just see, oh, that guy got millions, has a luxurious villa, and poor people were laid off now, and they have a hard time finding a job. This is the part of capitalism that they don't like.
With free market reforms reducing the role of the state, much of Eastern Europe was catching up with the West. But that could come to a halt, says Thomas Valacek of the Centre for European Reform in London.
The population is turning away from the free market liberal capitalist systems. It was doing that before, but the crisis is going to accelerate the trend.
Valacek says that's not surprising. After all, he says, just look at the West. After preaching the virtues of balanced budgets and privatization, we're now running up record deficits and greatly expanding the role of the state. This is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Stephen Beard, of course, talking about the trying times for all supporters of free market capitalism. The markets this morning are mixed around the world. Asian markets, Hong Kong shares up more than 0.5%. Japanese shares were down more than 1%. Trading is up in Europe, London's FTSE, and markets in Paris and Frankfurt are higher by an average of 1%. Yesterday, the Dow fell by less than 1%, about 65 points. The Nasdaq down about 2%. Congress has yet to sign off on most appropriation bills to fund federal agencies, and that includes the funding bill that gives lawmakers raises. Even though it hasn't passed yet, the pay hikes kick in automatically next month. Danielle Carson reports.
Every January, like clockwork, lawmakers get their automatic pay raises. Next month, their incomes will go up 2.8% to $174,000. For Steve Ellis with Taxpayers for Common Sense, there's something wrong with this picture.
As you look across the country, you have Americans who are losing their jobs, aren't getting any holiday bonuses, and then you have Congress getting a pay raise. It really flies in the face of shared sacrifice.
Many members campaigned this year to eliminate automatic pay raises. It may have made for good politics, but Utah Democrat Jim Matheson has been the lone voice in the House protesting the pay hikes and is giving the extra cash to charitable groups.
There's no question that our current circumstances really call into question if this is the time for Congress to be raising its own pay. I use that term loosely because Congress didn't really do anything to raise its own pay. It just kind of happened.
Taxpayer advocate Steve Ellis says it's up to constituents to let their representatives know the automatic pay raises are not okay, especially now. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
We've been talking about a Fed rate cut, and a cut in the funds rate is generally followed by a cut in the so-called prime rate. It's a benchmark banks use to set interest rates on a lot of consumer and small business loans. But as Sarah Gardner reports these days, a drop in the prime ain't what it used to be.
Car loans, student loans, even the interest rates on some credit cards are tied to the prime rate. Right now, it's running at 4%. If the Fed cuts its key lending rate as much as anticipated today, you can expect the prime rate to quickly fall to 3.5% or 3.25%. Good news for consumers and small business, right? Well, not really, says Ryan Sweet at MoodysEconomy.com.
Even if the prime rate falls 50 or 75 basis points, consumers aren't going to be able to obtain the funding needed because banks aren't lending. And this is why we're seeing a moderate recession turn into one of the worst recessions in recent memory.
It's also why many analysts are calling the rate cut a non-event. They'll pay more attention to the policy statement the Fed makes after the meeting, looking for hints of potential new strategies to jumpstart the economy. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
We have all kinds of information online, the numbers, of course, stories of the day, too, at our website, marketplace.org. Podcasts, all that at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.